This morning we wrap up our series through Psalm 23, so I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 23. And once you've found that psalm, you can keep your finger there or mark that, and also open up to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and Psalm 23 will be our passages this morning. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to Your Word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now turning over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'll begin reading with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He has a demon or is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, where are you from? Where is home for you? It's usually one of the first things we ask when we meet somebody, where they're from or where is home, especially during Defender Days or when we have a lot of visitors here in our congregation. It's a way to get to know people. When someone new is visiting, we walk up, we get their name, and then we ask, well, where are they from? And then we try to make a connection, don't we? Oh, you're from Kalamazoo. Well, I have a cousin there. Or St. Catharines, Ontario. A good friend of mine lived there. Oh, you're from South Africa. I knew a guy from Cape Town. Oh, Seoul, South Korea. My professor came from there. And I think part of the reason that we try to make those connections is we feel like we know that person a little bit better when we know someone from their hometown. And maybe that's because home is about the people who are there. Where are you from? It's about the people you are with when you go home. We're coming upon the holiday season. The stores have already brought out Christmas decorations. We're thinking of Thanksgiving. We're thinking of Christmas. And a big part of that is the nostalgia that comes up with that longing to be home. College students, you probably have the days numbered, when the vacation starts, when you'll be traveling home. Tickets are bought. The rest of us look forward to going home, that feeling of home. But home, the meals, the festivities, the families, it wouldn't be the same if the people weren't there. If you went home and it was just an empty house, it wouldn't be the same. You're not homesick for the building or the house or the structure. Going back to an empty house is not what you're longing for. It might bring back memories, but it wouldn't be home. Our longing for home is those who are there. Home is where those you love are. It's about being with those that you love. David, in our passage this morning in Psalm 23, is longing for home. His hope and his desire is to go home. And ultimately, what he's communicating, what he's getting at, is to be home, which is to be in the presence of his Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be with the Lord. I will live with the Lord, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And along with David this morning, we can confidently declare these words of Psalm 23, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the reason that we can state that confidently is because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and my shepherd. We are secure when it comes to our salvation. Because Jesus is holding on to us and never letting us go. We have that confidence and that assurance based on the promises that are ours in Jesus Christ. held in the Father's hand because the shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, because he knows us, because he holds us. And that's why you can confidently say, I will dwell, first of all. Secondly, in the house of the Lord. And third, we'll wrap up with forever. And so first, I will dwell. I will dwell. Who is able to confidently say with David that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? How do you get to that point of saying that? Having that kind of, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do you have that confidence? When we looked at Psalm 24 earlier, our call to worship, we sang it. The question is, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the basic question there is, who is worthy enough to be in God's presence? Who is holy enough to ascend the hill of the Lord and be with him in the presence of the Lord? And the answer is given to us. Psalm 24 verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So clean hands, pure heart, doesn't lift up his soul to what is false, doesn't swear deceitfully. And who is that describing? Who here, in and of themselves, has clean hands, pure heart, doesn't swear deceitfully or say what is false? Psalm 24 is describing perfection. And that's not us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In and of ourselves, we can't ascend the hill of the Lord. Psalm 15 takes it even further. He who does these things will never be shaken. But the question is, who does this? These things, this perfection. Clean hands, pure heart. It's not describing us. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. It's not even describing David, ironically. You look at Psalm 51 and it describes all of his sin, asking to be cleansed, asking to be purified. So what makes David so confident and able to say that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? How can we get to that point as well? And the answer is only when we are covered by the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only when the holiness of Christ is ours, when his clean hands and pure heart are our clean hands and pure heart through faith, it's only when the Lord is our shepherd that we can confidently say without a shadow of a doubt that I shall dwell, live in the house, in the presence of the Lord forever. Not because of anything that I have accomplished or done as a sheep, but rather because of what God, my Savior and Good Shepherd, has done in laying down his life for me. The way that sheep were cared for in ancient Israel was very different than the way they're cared or for handled today. And that's what Jesus is referencing in John 10 at the beginning there. In those days, there was a large sheep pen or a sheepfold or a sheep corral, for lack of a better way to explain it. In each village, each community had a sheepfold. And at the end of the day, all of the shepherds would bring each of their small individual flocks and put them all together in this big sheepfold. And then with their combined resources, they would pay a gatekeeper to spend the night there, to guard the gate, watch the sheep for the evening. It was his job to stay with the sheep throughout the night, kind of like a sheep co-op, if you want to put it in that way. And in the morning, the gatekeeper would open the gate to those who really were the shepherds, whose sheep were in that sheepfold. The shepherds would come in through the gate, through the door. And when the shepherd entered the fold, all of a sudden you're faced with this flock, this huge flock of all the mixed up sheep of all these other little flocks, right? But the shepherd would go in, he would call, and his sheep would recognize his voice, and they would come to him, and his sheep would follow him out because they know him. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. That's the imagery that Jesus is using in John 10. And that's the confidence that we have when it comes to our salvation. When it comes to us knowing that we will live in the house of the Lord forever. It comes from the fact that our good shepherd knows us. In John 10 verses 1 through 9, Jesus talks about the sheep pen and the sheepfold and how he calls out his own sheep by name and he leads them out. John 10 verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And the question for us to think about when it comes to being known by the shepherd is, when did God start knowing you? When did God start loving you? Was it when you were conceived? Or maybe it was when you were born? Baptized? Maybe when you made profession of faith. Well, that's when the Lord started loving me. Here's what Ephesians 1 says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. He chose us, his sheep, in Christ, our shepherd, before the world was even made, before even time began. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. People of God, he loved you before time even began. He knew you before time even began. He had your name in mind when he sent his son, the shepherd, who laid down his life for you, for his sheep. And now he's the one who calls his sheep by name because you belong to him. Boys and girls, to put it simply, it's Jesus telling each of us, I know you. I know my sheep, he says, and my sheep know me. And as the shepherd, Jesus says, my sheep know me. And as the sheep, like David in Psalm 23, we respond, we profess our faith that the Lord is my shepherd. I know my shepherd. And when we say, when we profess that the Lord is my shepherd, what we are saying, what we are implying is that I am one of his sheep. That I belong to him in life and in death, to my faithful shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now you're beginning to see the foundation for the assurance and the confidence we're talking about here at the end of verse 6 in Psalm 23. And it's not founded on or based on looking at yourself and what you've done or failed to do. That's not the source of our assurance. That's not the source of our confidence. Instead, we're looking to the shepherd. Now, it's one thing to recognize God as Lord, to acknowledge that he's sovereign and supreme over the universe. But to accept him as your shepherd, to accept him as your savior, as the one who laid down his life for you, his sheep, that takes things to the next level. That takes the next step, that step of faith. You're not just acknowledging that there is a higher power out there who is called God and who is sovereign over all, but rather you're taking into account that this is what he's done for me. There's a personal relationship with the shepherd. There's a connection with him. He protects, he leads, he provides, he guides. He looks after me. I have everything I shall not want. Jesus describes himself as that good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And this is where that relationship comes into play, because the good shepherd says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. As sheep were saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the confidence is because of who our shepherd is and what he has declared and said and promised. And all of a sudden things become very personal, because he knows your name specifically. He laid down his life for you, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. And if that's what your shepherd says, that no one will snatch them out of my hand, then what do we have to worry about? As the sheep of his pasture, the flock under his care. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's our second point this morning, in the house of the Lord. Now, when we're talking about the house of the Lord, as I mentioned, we're talking about the Lord's presence. One of the main things that we learn from Scripture as you look throughout the Bible is that God is with His people. God is with His people. He lives with His people. Yahweh tabernacles or dwells with His people. Most of the pagan gods at that time, they're disconnected. They're far removed from their people. But God, Yahweh, He is there. He is present. As soon as God's people left Egypt, He was present in the pillar of cloud and fire. You can think of His presence in the tabernacle, the dwelling place. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized His presence. The temple was built. It was God's dwelling place. And all of these things, the tabernacle, the Ark, Mount Zion, even the holy mountain, whom He ascended, the hill of the Lord, the temple, they're all describing God's presence with His people. God Himself is with us. But what we need to keep in mind is that it's not so much about the building in and of itself as much as it is about God's presence. Just like when you think about going home, it's not about the structure that you'll find yourself in as much as it is about the people who you are with. Tabernacle's long gone, temple's destroyed, ark is gone as well. But those were just things, those were just objects. It was God's presence. So when David is talking about the house of the Lord, it's just one of the many ways to describe God's presence. And his desire is to be in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 23, the house of the Lord. Psalm 24, the hill of the Lord, his holy place. And when you jump forward to John 10, there Jesus is describing the significance of God's presence with his people. Explains that the hired man, he runs away. These sheep don't belong to him. So when the danger comes, he gets out of there. And in contrast to the hired man is the good shepherd. Jesus, who is the good shepherd. And he's the good shepherd because he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He's willing to risk his life for the sheep. Now a shepherd never plans to die saving his sheep. I mean, if you think of the logical outworking of that, what good would that be in the long run for the sheep if the shepherd's now dead? It's never their intention to die. That would leave the sheep entirely exposed. But what we have is Jesus saying that he lays down his life. It's because the sheep are in mortal danger. In their defense, the shepherd loses his life, but by his death, they are saved. And that's the reason that the shepherd is described as good. And that's the language, the strong language that Jesus is using to point to his own care for his sheep. That's the example he uses for himself. Not just risking his life or throwing away his life, but rather laying down his life according to the Father's will. Laying down his life for his sheep, the sheep that he knows, in order to save their life. These aren't just any sheep. These are the sheep that the Father has given to Jesus, the sheep that he knows, the sheep that he calls by name. He gives his life, he lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd who is with his sheep, the shepherd who is present with his sheep, and he does so willingly, verse 18, and that's why he's described as the good shepherd. Doesn't just suffer death or die for no reason. He's laying down his life. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. And here, boys and girls, what Jesus is telling us is not only do I know you, but now he's saying, I died for you. All part of the Father's plan to save. The reason why we can be in the presence of the Lord. Because of Christ. Christ's death was specifically for the sheep that the Father had chosen before the creation of the world, loved before time began. He knows these sheep. He knows their name. He calls you by name. He laid down his life for you. These are the sheep that the Father gives him and holds tightly in his hand as their shepherd. And these are the sheep that hear and listen to his voice and follow him because they belong to him. Now, I hope at this point you're starting to see the foundation of our assurance and our confidence. That it's in our shepherd, it's not in us, it's what Christ has done, not what we have done. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And the last phrase there in our final point this morning is forever. People of God, what are you going through right now? As we've been looking at Psalm 23, we've described how it puts into words our life's journey, the Christian walk with the Lord, the ups and the downs, the valleys, the green pastures, the quiet waters, the valley of the shadow of death, the enemy. And through it all, no matter what we're facing, what you know is that God is the one who is leading and guiding you. You know that he is beside you. You know that he's even pursuing you like we looked at last week. So you are surrounded by God, his goodness and mercy. And like David, you know what the end looks like. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When it comes to what the future holds, it's not across my fingers. Well, we'll see if things turn out okay. I guess I'll find out when I get there. It's like reading the last chapter of the novel, knowing how the story ends, so that in the middle of the novel, when the suspense is very intense, you know how it's going to end by the end of the book. Billy Graham once said, I've read the last page of the Bible. It's going to turn out all right. And that's what we have going on here in Psalm 23 too. Knowing, having that confidence, that assurance that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, not because of my track record, because of Christ's. And on your deathbed, it's not a question of what if or I hope I'm going to heaven. It's I know where I'm going. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As parents and grandparents, you can probably remember a time when one of your toddlers came up to you and grabbed your hand, or maybe they could only grab your finger, and they had to bring you and show you something, right? They built something or drew something or maybe messed up something, and they wanted to show you. So they grab on and they bring you. But if our kids are in danger, or we're in danger, if we're getting ready to cross 75 here and the semis are flying, we don't just offer them a finger to hold on to if they so desire. We're going to grab their hand, or we're going to grab them and hold them as we walk across the street. R.C. Sproul gives us this picture. He says, a strong father is walking with his three-year-old son beside a dangerous railroad track. And there are two ways that the father can protect his son. He can reach out his hand and say to the little boy, now listen, son, hold tight to my hand, because if you let go, you could fall onto the tracks and be killed. Or the father can say, son, give me your hand. And he takes the boy's hand and holds on to him. Thus the father holds on to the son rather than the son holding on to the father. People of God, we are secure. Not because of how tightly we hold on to Jesus, but because he holds on tight to us and promises to never let us go and says that no one can snatch us out of his hand. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. He says it twice. Well, who's holding us? Jesus or the Father? Both are. Here you have this Trinitarian event of working out your salvation and holding on to you. The foundation of our assurance, our confidence, our comfort. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Boys and girls, here Jesus is telling you, I hold you. And that's where the confidence and the assurance comes. Confidence and assurance we're talking about here. That's how we get to the point like David of being able to confidently state, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the comforting thing is that it's not you and your strength and grasp on God by your own ability, but rather it's his never failing grip on you. The salvation in the Lord our shepherd, it's not based on how faithful I am or on my decision or my choice. It's not the lamb who's holding on to the shepherd here. It's Jesus as the shepherd holding on to his lamb, holding on to his sheep. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your doubts, your temptations, your faithlessness, your failings, your letting God down, your messing things up, don't change the fact that before time began, God loved you. I know you. I died for you. I hold you. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but I belong in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And ultimately, we have this confidence and assurance of salvation when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, listening to the voice of our shepherd and striving to follow him. Now, this morning, if you're here and you're hearing all of this talk about following the shepherd and listening to his voice and belonging to him, but you're not sure if Jesus has a hold on you, you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if that's you, if you're not confident that you belong to him, that you are one of his sheep, then now is the time to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And even that act in and of itself is a gift from God, an expression of his love for you before time even began. And when you do place your faith in Jesus Christ, you can know and have that confidence that he will hold on to you and never let you go no matter what you face. And for the rest of you sheep here this morning, the listening and the following on our part is not perfect by any means. If it was up to us, we wouldn't get very far at all. But if you belong to Christ, if you believe in him as your Lord and Shepherd, then you know that you have eternal life and will never perish. Saved in Christ, saved forever, no one can snatch you out of his hand. And along with David, we can confidently declare these words of Psalm 23, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and my shepherd. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, praising and thanking you for the assurance and the confidence that is ours. We thank you that you are with us, that you sent your one and only Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to be our Savior, to be our Shepherd. And now it's our prayer, O Lord, that we will live each and every moment of each and every day in light of that confidence and assurance, in light of that knowledge that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that we will live as the sheep of your pasture, the flock under your care. Lord, hear our prayer, because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.